How's everybody? Let's start out with a confession of something. Say that I'm convinced that when we participate, function, operate, and demonstrate things that puts a smile on God's face, on our Heavenly Father's face, things in our life that we desire begin to show up. Amen. So, you know, Jesus said in John 8, he says, I'm never alone. The Father's not left me because I always do those things that please him. What's always mean? So, see, I'm in that line. I want to be in that line. If Jesus is not only our sacrifice, but he's our example, then I want to be able to put my life in a position to where I say, I always do those things which please him. What's always mean? I mean, there ain't never nothing else I do. Amen now. Come on. So say that with me, everybody. Say, I always do those things that please him. Amen. So I want to, Holy Spirit, help us tonight. Hallelujah. Let me just let this thing slow down for me. Just let it slow down for me and show me what needs to be where it needs to be, brick by brick. I thank you for your help in the name of Jesus. Well, I want to stay along the lines that Pastor's been teaching on the agape love of God. And now where he's got his skits and his slides, I hadn't got to that sophisticated level of my preparation yet. I got my stuff on paper up here. And that's the reason I'm asking the Lord to help me. Just let me find what I've, and I've prepared this, you know, from some of this goes back 20 years. And so I want to try to open our understanding up to why love is so important when it comes to us being effective in life and ministry. See, I'm convinced love opens the door to everything that God is able to do in us and through us and by us and for us. Love opens the door. Now, faith is what gives you access in and out of that door, but but there's a reason why love's so important. And so some of these things that he's talked about, you know, love is something that we do. Amen. Love is something that we do. So here's a thought for you here. The demonstration of love is a sign that leads people to the heavenly city where God dwells. And people, now we're talking about evangelism. I'm going to touch on evangelism And this is a part of it. Going all the way back to Genesis, and seeing how all this, the types and the shadows were being formed in the Old Testament, so that when the fullness of time come, the manifestation of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we're going to touch on John 13, 34, and 35. But see, this demonstration of love is a sign that leads people to the heavenly city where God dwells. And so people are looking for a sign to direct them in their life. And if there's no love, there's no sign. And in the beginning, light was commanded to be. Now, this is in Genesis 1, and I think it begins in 1:24. But in the beginning, light was commanded to serve and to give and to provide and to rule and to be a sign. When God said, "Let there be light," he gave light these mandates. I want you to go and serve and give and provide and rule and be a sign. So if you fast forward into the New Testament, God said that we are lights in the world. So that mandate that he established in Genesis hadn't changed. We're to serve. Amen? Are we to serve in the body of Christ? All right, so are we to give? Hey, I thought about that as a song come up to present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, and pleasing unto God. You give yourself unto the Lord. And to provide, this has to do with shelter or protection or provision. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that if one suffers, we all suffer. And where one may need help in a certain area, that's what we're there to do, to help provide strength and encouragement through generosity and our graciousness, and to be a sign. And said, this is all how God reveals himself in the earth. So the highest level of evangelism, and evangelism is simply God revealing himself unto man. And he uses us to do that. The highest level of evangelism is not through preaching, it's through loving. So here's some examples of this. Now you can write these verses down. I won't have time to read them all, but these are some examples of the level of effectiveness I'm talking about, that this agape love is going to put us in a position to affect the world by. And then at the same time, you got to think, you know, what Pastor mentioned to us about, man, we can't have the mindset, even just because we're here on Wednesday night and we're at church every Sunday, been saved a long time, that we done topped out, that there ain't no room for us to grow and develop just a little bit further, because the scripture tells us that Paul had a letter to one of the churches, and he says, "Hey, you love the brother. You don't even need anyone to teach you that, but I'm asking you to increase. I'm asking you to increase." So whatever level it is that you've obtained an effective life demonstrating love, then there's something else there for you to obtain in this area. And so what I mean by the highest level of evangelism, if you look in Acts chapter 28, it talks about the Apostle Paul and him preaching and teaching the gospel, and it said that some believed. And then you look in John 10 in verse 42, when Jesus was teaching and preaching, it said many believed. But then the language changes in John 13, 34, where Jesus says, a new commandment that I give you, that if you love one another, just as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know. So see, you went from some believing and many believing from the preaching to where Jesus says, if you love one another just as I have loved you, all men will know. And I like to refer to the Lord Jesus Christ as the great demonstrator. You know, not only do we know that he demonstrated his love for us in this way, what? While we were yet sinners, he gave himself for us. And so that John 13, 34, I want to show you a verse. So you know, if there's a new commandment, then there had to be an old commandment. So old commandment was what? Y'all help me now. I want you to talk back to me so I can make sure you're listening to me. So the old commandment was what? Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, with all your strength. And the second one is equal to that. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, see, that was all the natural man could function in. He could only love with a human level of love because he hadn't been born again in the Old Testament. Y'all hear me? So then here comes this new commandment that I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. See, that's a different level. And how that's able, Pastor touched on it, Romans 5:5 says that it's the love of God that's been shed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So we have the ability to love one another just as Jesus loved us. Now, that's not only going to benefit the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis, whether a brief moment or a long-term, relationship that you may have with coworkers, or if you're in fellowship with your fellow believers in a local body or a church. But there's a great benefit that comes with that. I want to read to you in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So verse 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And here's what I want to show you the benefit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. So this law of love in John 13, 34 is the Spirit's law of life. The law of love is the law of life. And so this law of life has made you free from the law of sin and death. Now, one of the ways that Jesus demonstrated his love for us is if you look in Philippians chapter 2. Takes me a minute to find these because I want to read them. So 1 through 5 talks about us. 6 through 11 talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it goes back 12 through 16 is where I'll go to. But it finishes out through this whole chapter about us, but listen to this right here in 1 through 5. And Jesus being our example, it says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship. Now, fellowship in its truest sense is more than just eating a meal or just chit-chatting before and after church. Man, it's an outward expressed dominion of love in the body of Christ. It's the stronghold that makes it all work, is what fellowship is. And so he says, if there's any encouragement, so encouragement is one of the spiritual gifts that comes from the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:29 talks about it. It's how let no corrupt communication come from your mouth, but only that which is good. For those that hear will receive grace. It's that word of encouragement that we can share with people. And it's a gift from heaven when it's effective, because it'll quicken them. And man, it'll get them through that one day or that next moment into that next week. And so and you won't be able to, you won't be able to receive that word that quickens another individual unless you have a fellowship mindset, that where you can actually feel from that place of compassion. See, it ain't the same as feeling sorry for somebody. But the Holy Spirit, when you reach that point where you actually feel what they feel and can, and to some degree, experience that pain or whatever it is that they may be experiencing, that you're actually becoming one with them where they suffer, we all suffer. Man, the Spirit of God is obligated. When you say, Lord, show me what I need to do right here. Because love is what? It's something we do. And so any encouragement in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any compassion and mercy, then fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being in unity with one man. Now, We don't want to unhook from John 13, 34 and 35 when we're saying this, because that's the commandment given for the New Testament church. Love one another just as I've loved you. So when it's talking about having the same love, it's talking about what Jesus demonstrated. Talking about have the same mind, we've been mandated that we've got the mind of Christ. It ain't talking about going and having your own opinion about something. Amen. Or your own insight on what should or shouldn't be. Man, we're 100% in fellowship with the Holy Ghost so that whatever we say or do is going to be effective. A gift from heaven, that's what's been sent from God to help us in this life and ministry, talking about the body of Christ. That's what gifts are. It's something that heaven has sent for us that'll help us in this world to overcome any situation that we may encounter on a daily basis. And so how this ties in with Romans 8:2, that the Spirit's law of life has made you free from the law of sin and death. It says that, now I'm going to tell you something. I've realized this. And if you'll really meditate on it and understand what that really means, you've been made free from the law of sin and death. It has no ability to affect you. And so verse 3 says, let nothing be done out of strife or conceit or pride or anger. Other translations say rivalry or conceit. In other words, this ain't no competition. I ain't trying to outdo you necessarily just for bragging points. You ain't trying to outdo me just simply so you can brag about it. But in humility, let each one esteem the other person more important than himself. And then you say, well, man, if I'm always looking out for the other person, how does my stuff get taken care of? Well, it gives you the disclaimer in verse 4. Let each one of you not only look out for your own interest. Notice the order of this. Don't not only look out for your own interest. See, there you are. There you are. Not only look out for your own interest, but what? But also the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, he did not consider it a benefit to be used only for his own advantage. And so this principle here, not only looking out for your own interest, but the interest of others. How does that tie in to the law of sin and death? Now, I told you John 13:34 is the Spirit's law of life. So there's two laws mentioned here. The Spirit's law of life and the law of sin and death. Does anybody know what the law of sin and death is? I'm going to show you in just as practical terms as the Scriptures will show it to us right here. And I'm going to show you how this dominion of love through fellowship has a natural process of keeping you with the proof in your life that you're free from the law of sin and death. And so let's go to James. And I'll start at verse 12. Now we're talking about the Spirit's law of life, this John 13:34-35, loving one another just as I've loved you. And this being the highest level of evangelism is us functioning and operating in John 13:34-35. And how that has the ability to keep you free from this law of sin and death we're about to read. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he's tried, he'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then it said, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt anyone. Now here's your law of sin and death coming in. Each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin's finished, it brings forth death. That's your law of sin and death right there. So Pastor said the opposite of love is what? Selfishness. All right. And then you read in Philippians what we just read, that you not only consider yourself, but consider the other person more important. So if you practice those two principles, You won't be drawn away by your own lust. So then if you're not drawn away by your own lust, lust can't conceive. It ain't got nothing to impregnate with. It ain't got nothing to increase with. And then, so then sin don't come forth. And then sin doesn't have a chance to start, so it doesn't have a chance to finish. And then death never gets to show up. You know why? Because you've been set free from it. It's the Spirit's law of life. Love is the perfect law of liberty. Because look here, if you go down here in this verse 25, and it talks about man being not only just a hearer, but also be a doer. So this thing about hearing and doing, the Lord showed me, see, if you just a hearer, well, you like Jesus. But it's the doers that love him. You can hear all you want. Now you like him. You got them warm, fond, affectionate feelings for him. So the hearer likes Jesus, but the doer loves him. And I tell you another thing. I don't know if I've seen anywhere where God asks you to tell him how much you love him. Ain't nothing wrong with it. Amen. Now, y'all can find some scripture for me. I may be wrong, but I ain't seen him nowhere. Tell me how much you love me. But he says, if you love me, you'll do those things which I say. Pastor said, love is something you say. Huh? That's not what... Y'all with me? Everything okay? Love is something you do. Now look at this perfect law of liberty. Being doers of the word and not hearers only, you deceive yourself. And so one of the things that happens when you deceive yourself, you're going to be carried away by your own lust. Then when you do that, then sin is conceived. So then you start functioning in that the law of sin and death. And let me tell you something, it's a gradual thing too now. You know, we think of suicide as something that you can do instantly. But man, you can commit suicide in slow motion and die a little bit every day. And the devil's getting the same result because you going through this thing ain't effectively bringing anybody to heaven with you. Amen. So the deceiving yourselves, for if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man viewing his natural face in a mirror. He views himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but is a what? Doer of the work. This man will be blessed in all his deeds. Now you tie that in with evangelism. This perfect law of liberty, John 13:34 said, by this all men will know, when you begin a process of everything you do, all the work you do in this life, everything you do, put your hands to, is blessed, people are going to be wanting to know. It's one of the most natural things that takes place. It's nothing miraculous to it, but it's supernatural. There's a transformation process that takes place that where the Bible says, where I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. So our divine purpose... How do we know the difference between agape and philo if we're practicing them? If there's some signs that we could look for. Here's a saying that I'm going to just read you some thoughts here now. If we do in our hearts what Jesus done in his heart, then we will do with our hands what Jesus done with his hands. Miracles, signs, wonders, demonstrations of power. And then, you know, there's a saying, and I think it's John 15, said, no greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And so where the Lord Jesus Christ had a It was from the time he was born till they hung him on that tree, that one time continuous effort was manifested in the fullness when he hung on the tree. That was a one-time event for him that he died for his friends. But see, ours is a continuous thing on a daily basis that we give our life for our friends. Jesus died for his enemies. We're called to die for our friends. You know, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Well, we're not called to die for our enemies. We're called to die for our friends, the ones in covenant with God. And so the greater works that Jesus mentioned that we'll do is found in the greater love. No greater love than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's also how the greater anointing is produced. When you begin to practice and demonstrate this level of love, it's going to build a level of confidence in you that when it comes time to pray for somebody, cast out a devil, somebody needs healing in their physical body, you've been through the preparation stage of John 13, 34 and 35. You loving one another just as he loved us. And when you lay hands on somebody to pray for them, it's going to release power from your confidence and faith that you're prepared for that moment. That greater anointing is going to be in you and with you and ready to be transferred. But see, I'm convinced that's the reason that we don't have the greater anointing functioning in the body of Christ, is because we're not practicing the greater love. It opens the door for that greater anointing to flow. And this is where the enemy is so deceptive. He'll let you think that you're going along and doing everything that you're supposed to be doing. Experiencing another year instead of a new year. So if we do in our hearts what Jesus done in his heart, then we can do with our hands what he done with his hands. Now, so here's, you got phileo and agape. And ask yourself these questions. So which is better, doctrine or demonstration? Which is better, to preach or to practice? Which is better, to talk or to walk? Which is better, a hearer or a doer? Which one likes Jesus compared to which one loves Jesus? Which is better, thinking or knowing? Relationship or fellowship? Temporary or from start to finish? Limited or unlimited? Trying something or making every effort? Well, see, those are the things that you're going to have a distinguishing mark in your life that'll help you recognize that you're functioning in the agape love. And so the greatest way to demonstrate your love for God is when you make every effort to renew your mind to what he says and does. Jesus said that if you love me, you will do those things which I say. And then here's another thought for you. It's vain deceit. So we're talking about We're talking about here, all this is tying together here with the scripture that we read, this James 1, 22 through 25, being doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's vain deceit to think that you can do life, evangelize, disciple, and develop with all doctrine and no demonstration, with all preaching and no practicing, with all talk and no walk, just following after the things which are convenient instead of that uncommon commitment, what Pastor talks about, what discipleship is. It's that uncommon commitment. Being just hearers and not doers, and just always thinking and pondering things and never really knowing in your heart because you hadn't received the insight, which is another where one of the things that I was going to touch on, but I don't necessarily have enough time, but compassion being a part of this John 13, 34, and 35, and Pastor touched on it briefly when he was talking about how the disciples, when the people come to the, and Jesus was teaching them, and it come to the end of the day, end of the service, and they were hungry, needed something to eat, and so the word said that he said, hey, they've been with us for 3 days already. We can't send them away and not feed them. They'll faint. How long must they be with us before we give them what they need? And so the mindset that the disciples had was send them away. But Jesus' mindset was what? Have them sit down. And then their mindset was let them go somewhere else and buy their food. Jesus said, have them stay here and receive. So I've asked this question before. When we have new people that come to the church, whatever, Sunday night or Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights or whatever, we greet them and we say things to them in exchange pleasantries. But the one common question that even God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, asked this question, and it's groundbreaking and earth-shattering in its volume. What is it that I can do for you? Because there's times when, I mean, people come in here that's maybe even been coming here a long time, that's just longing for somebody to help them in whatever area it is they need help in. And then, you know what? It may be a situation where there is a willing heart there, but you lack opportunity. Okay, now I just shared a mystery with you. How you can manifest that opportunity for yourself is have the courage and the boldness, casting out the fear of what that answer may be. And if you have to practice at home, just like you do with your music, Daniel, you have to ask your mama, Mama, what is it that I can do for you? If you have to practice that enough so that when you get out here among the body of Christ, you don't choke on it. See, I remember I was sitting, in my chair one day, and the Spirit of God said to me, I want you to go give Grant some money. My friend's dead now, but he wasn't in good shape then. And I was just working through my stuff. I hadn't been saved but 5, 6, 7 years then. But again, I knew I heard his voice, and I'm sitting there praying, and so I got up, went right down there where he was working, and walked in, and man, he was working in a consignment store selling all this different stuff. And man, I'm telling you, there was some resistance. And we walked around all. I said, show me this. I mean, just, man wanted this thing to come out. Grant, how much money do you need? How can I help you? And like I said, I ain't in the shape I'm in now. So I'm in better shape now than what I was then. So I got to that point, and I said, Grant, what? How do you need any money? He looked at me funny. No. I said, you lying. He said, what do you mean? I said, you lying. And he about started crying. He said, well, I do. He said, Madison, that's his daughter. Her insurance payment is due, and I ain't got the money. And I said, how much is it? And so I was reaching in my wallet. Now, I'm telling you about don't choke on it when you ask them what the answer may be. I had like $170 in my pocket. He said, it's $159. And I was reaching like this, and I knew how much I had. He was supposed to get all of it but $11. And the Holy Spirit said, don't you hesitate 1 minute. So while I'm doing this, he said that amount, and I choked and recovered and all that just in a split second with the Holy Ghost quickening me. But man, when I gave him that money, and I got outside in my car, I can't explain to you. Like Pastor talking about them endorphins and all the stuff that goes on when you begin to function in that agape. Man, I cried. And it wasn't about just me giving him the money. I heard from the Holy Ghost on something that was designed to help this man. And I had the opportunity to do it. My heart was open to do it. I'd been prepared to do it. I was willing to do it. And I had the opportunity to do it, and I responded to it. And I ain't forgot it. It's still there. And so that's this new commandment, loving one another just as I've loved you. Compared to the old commandment, this has the ability to produce the perfection where God says, be perfect, for I'm perfect. This word perfect or mature means you won't lack nothing. When you start receiving insight, revelation, understanding, direction, all those things that you're going to need on a daily basis, that love opens the door for those things to come to you and flow freely to you the very moment that you're going to need them. For that moment and for future reference, that the Spirit's law of life will make you free from the law of sin and death. And the greater love will produce the greater anointing. And that's where the greater works is found. So the demonstration of love is proof of our identity. Jesus said it. By this, all men will know who you are. So do we have an identity crisis in the church, where everybody can just form their own opinion about what we are and what we do? then there's an absence of John 13, 34, and 35 taking place. And so that's my contact point for you to work on in the coming days of your life. Practice that question. How can I help you? What is it that I can do for you? Because people coming to this church, Jesus asked that question, how long must they come before we feed them? They'll get tired and weary of coming and coming, believing God for some help, and how he helps them is through his body. That's us, the individual members. And that demonstration of love is how God reveals himself in the earth. Father, I thank you for this time. Lord God, hallelujah. Let your love be expressed through your people. We don't have to be fearful of these things that, you know, will be before us. Great needs in this world. People that come in our doors here. There's nothing that they have need for that you cannot provide through your body. That's us, the individual members of the body of Christ. We don't have to be fearful to ask that question. Lord God, give us boldness. That in the moments that we sense the Holy Spirit reminding us of this mandate and this call to action, let it come out of us, not in fear of what the answer may be, not what it may cost us. We've already considered the cost of not hearing from you. It's the most deadly thing that we can encounter. But we thank you for this opportunity. It's going to be a contact point for us that when we begin to practice this, this church body will grow. I stand here and I call heaven and earth as a witness today that you will perform it if we'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen.